Yo, 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 yo.
I gotta turn your volume up.
You said
Yeah,
turn my
I can't
volume
hear
up?
you. Barely.
Why can't people hear me today? What is going on?
Maybe it's my phone.
And Trinice was saying that she was hearing a full conversation that was happening. She was like, "Is that Hunter?" I was like, "No, I'm still waiting for him to plug in."
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, can you hear
I
me?
can barely hear you. Yeah.
Really? What about now?
Barely.
Barely
Me try.
still.
Let me
What about now?
log off and then log back on.
And that's Trinice. Trinice.
Hi. I can hear Janice.
Hey.
How are you?
Can you hear me?
I'm gonna log back on.
Okay,
I
Trinice,
can
can you
hear
hear
you
me?
and Hunter.
Can you hear me
Very
clearly or no?
clear. I don't know
Okay,
why.
because Hunter said he could barely hear me.
Mine is not.
Bizarre. Are you on your phone? You're on your
I'm on my
laptop.
phone.
You're on your phone. Okay, what
On
about
my
your phone?
phone.
Okay. Oh. All right. I don't know what that was. I don't know what's going on here.
Very strange. I said very strange. Here we
Yeah.
go.
The
Yep.
better. Okay. All right. So welcome to the Wokefast podcast with your boy G to the AAABE with my guests.
Matador.
And my co-host.
It's trainees in the streets.
Very nice, very nice. So we're kind of debating on topics, me and Trinice, on what to focus on. After me and you had talked, Matador, if I may, aka Rex Pistachio, aka the voice, the angel voice behind Fascination
Oh
Wild.
boy, you are selling.
Sweet angel voice, got the voice of an angel. Are you happy? I'm not gonna do it. Can't even hit the range. But so there's been a couple of things that's been happening musically in the hip hop front, Hunter. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but that I think we can use that as a segue into the main topic of the night. But Trinice, kind of start us off, and then I'll find a way for us to segue, and then Hunter, you can like finish us strong. You're the leg of this relay race. So go ahead, ladies first. Okay.
Wait, what are we starting with? I'm sorry.
Oh. We're starting with your topic that you wanted to talk about tonight, with Nasir, the album coming out, correct?
Well, yeah, just in general, like it's just been a hell of a Fridays, these these fine Fridays in June.
I
Um,
forgot that came out on I
Friday.
love them.
Every
Yes, it didn't come out on Friday. It came out on Saturday, technically speaking. That's when everybody had a chance to like stream it. But the album, and people were listening to YouTube snippets or YouTube streams of Nasir.
It all started this fateful day, May 29th, and Friday. And then from that Friday on, things have just escalated,
Just been fire. We got
escalated
Daytona with
in the
Pusha
music
T,
industry.
May 29th, and then the following Friday we got Ye by Kanye, and then the Friday after that we had Kids See Ghosts, Kanye and Kid Cudi's collaborative project, and then this Friday slash Saturday we got Nas's album Nasir, which was produced by Kanye.
And then that same night, well, to a whole 22 hours later, Jay-Z and Beyonce decided to drop a joint album. Surprise.
Well, the Carters, which I did find out on Saturday. I wasn't too, I, you know, I'm not the huge Jay-Z and Beyonce fan. I was a big Jay-Z fan back in like, the end of my high school career into college, because that's when he was really, at the at his pinnacle of success. I must, I think, or maybe a little after that, maybe after when he did the Blueprint with Eminem and Kanye featured on his album. But Beyonce, everybody loves Beyonce. I'm more of a Solange fan, so like, if Solange and like Lupe dropped an album, I'll probably be more excited about that than
Yeah,
even
that'd be
Jay-Z and
interesting.
Beyonce.
Yeah.
Right? Wouldn't
For
that be
sure.
cool? But go ahead.
No, I was so Hunter, Gabe and I, we were talking about, I'm just like, oh my God, have you not heard what has been going on in music? And he said, no, he didn't really hear it. And I was just like, okay. So late last night, I got, oh no, not even late last night, like sometime during the day. I was just, social media and up, and I came across the link, and I was like, surprise album. I'm like, oh, and I thought that they had originally had did this because of the news coverage about their tour being a flop, and
Right. Tour was a flop, really.
yeah. So there was actually E! News covering. You know what I mean? Like when you were on E! News, like that's major. So E! News had a
Trash.
Released, you know what I mean, did a snippet on Jay-Z and Beyonce's On the Run Tour 2, where they were like, is it a flop? They had there was rumors of them having to sell tickets, to give away free tickets to fill seats in Glasgow. London, they have a problem. I followed Beyonce's mother on
This is Jay-Z and Beyonce's show.
Yeah. And
What?
what actually people were complaining on Twitter, there's a whole Twitter feed on this, was that they did people who've attended the first On the Run tour, they did the same exact set list playlist as the first one. So they were like, well, what are we paying $300 for? Like just for a couple costume changes, and you're basically giving us
You're on the same
the
set list, yeah.
same. So that was covered on E, and so I was just like, oh, maybe they dropped this, you know what I mean, to change things up, you know what I mean, so they don't lose fans. Well,
But I heard that there were some criticisms about them having Rumi and Sir in their, I guess they had like a little montage before they would hit the stage. Beyonce, one of their publicists, has said that actually that's not their twins. And so people were kind of confused. They're like, well, why would you have random twins on stage and not your twins? And so that was a lot of the, that's the only criticism I heard about the shows, the fact that they had, apparently it was like, the Carters, they had, what's the oldest? What's her name? Blue, Ivy, and then Rumi and Sir. But Rumi and Sir were fake, like, they were loner twins or
yeah.
something. And people were kind of like, why would you
Yeah,
do
that's
that?
kind of
That was
weird.
weird. Yeah, a little bit. But maybe they don't want their children in the public limelight just so yet. So I kind of get it,
Yeah,
but
but I
then
mean,
don't do that, you know?
just having a celebrity, having a baby and having it, celebrated like that all over the media, they're already in there, so
Yeah.
may as well just bring them out.
Yeah. But go ahead.
I'm really not too sure.
Nobody is.
Yeah, I'm really not too
But
sure
they.
about that. Yeah, the it's just it was just very confusing. So they were like, fans were complaining like there's not even a new music, like we've heard all this music before. So I thought that they did that, you know. Then when you start to listen to it, and it's available exclusively just on Tidal right now, when you start to listen to it and
Boo.
you're like, okay, this sounds like a shot. This sounds like a shot. And I'm just like, wow, like, what are we doing here? You know, I thought if everything is love, it certainly doesn't sound like
That's
it.
what the album's called, right?
Huh? Yeah, it's called Everything Is
That's
Love.
what the album's
Hashtag
called.
Everything Is Love. And it's doesn't quite sound like it. So
So who are they throwing shots at? What are they saying?
So the first shot that I heard was with regards to Drake. And we all know that Drake's coming out June 29th with his Scorpion release. And it's supposedly some shots about like Jay calling like you're not a boss if you don't, you know, own the rights to your music. Basically, Jay was taking jabs at Drake for not signing exclusively with Tidal, and just going to signing on with Apple Music. And so he just like, you know, you can't say that you're on my level when you don't own shit, that kind of things. So that's in one song. And then the other song was in Friends. Beyonce was, you know, oh, Jay-Z was talking about, you know, why he didn't go to Kanye's wedding. You know, he was just like, you know, me and my wife was going through it. Shit, what do you want? Then Beyonce was just like, you know, talking about Friends, and you know, Kanye did kind of throw her under the bus on his tour when he was like, she was playing politics. She didn't like that very much. So that was an interesting song. So it just seems like a couple shots thrown here and there at people.
Was Jay-Z and Beyonce, was the whole Solange elevator incident, was that around the time of Kanye's
No,
wedding?
no, no, no. I
No, it
don't, yeah,
wasn't.
to
Oh,
be
so
honest, I
there's.
don't remember.
Yeah.
Was it that long ago?
It was interesting.
Like it was like 2 years
Yeah, it
ago.
was like 2 years ago, and you know, some words were exchanged, some insults were, you know, there was some shadiness going on. And that Kanye had addressed in
The Charlemagne interview.
yeah, the Charlemagne interview, and Jay-Z also addressed it. You know, Jay-Z also addressed on his 444 album. So you would think like it would just be squashed now, but then, you know, there's a lot of fuckboy notices going on. And I just thought like, wow, you know what I mean? Like I was telling you before, you know, we started recording, I was just like, I had put them on a pedestal, which I probably shouldn't. And I think others have too, where I've like, you know what I mean? Like how people put Michael Jackson on a pedestal and they forgot that he was kind of human. And so when he did stuff like dangle a baby over a balcony, you know what I mean? Like you're just like, oh, well, fuck. Why did you do that, Michael
That's just
Jackson?
Michael. That's just classic Michael being Michael.
Seen that 100 times.
Yeah, like I like sort of did kind of did that with them. I'm just like, where, why are we going at this level? Like, why do we need to rap and talk about how much more money than you have than everybody else? And you know what? It seemed really honestly beneath them. It's mostly, I would say, like a trap feel to it. I guess, but that's what the kids listen to today. I don't know. I feel like a little bit of their creative integrity was kind of lost a little bit. I thought it was overall, you know what I mean? I'm definitely on the way to the beach. I'll definitely play a couple tracks or whatever. But the creative integrity was kind of lost with me there with all these back and forth and shots at everybody. And she's a thought, their thoughts, and I've got so much more money, and my kids are going to be wealthy, more wealthy than your kids. So ha ha ha, laugh, laugh, laugh. And it was, I don't know, I didn't, I don't know, I like enjoy people just being humble, and I don't know. I guess you can't
Yeah.
take.
Well, now that I think about it, I think that I think Kanye and Kim, they got married around 2013 because that's when Yeezus came out. And but I know that they were together then. I think I remember them getting married after what's their daughter's name?
Blue. Blue.
Kanye and Kim's kid?
Oh, North,
No.
Northie.
North. I think they got married when she was like 2 or something like that. I remember that being a thing. So it might have been when Beyonce and Jay-Z were going through that. But nonetheless, a lot of people feel that also the fact that Jay-Z dropped his album the same weekend that Nas's album was also dropped. You know, people thought that there was still, you know, a little bit of
Oh yeah.
animosity left
Back
over
from
the
back in the
whole
day,
Ether.
Jay-Z and Nas. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole Ether and Super Ugly, you know, rap battle. But apparently they were friends. You know, they worked on songs together after that. And so,
Yeah, I think
you
this was just
know,
totally about business. I think, and actually,
yeah.
like, so everything that has been coming out these past Fridays in June has been on good music. And so I don't know. You could never tell with these people and what they're thinking. And like Drake said, some of this stuff goes beyond music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It could have just been like, you know, Kanye, we gonna screw up your whole team's Good Music Fridays because we about to drop our shit, and
Yeah.
everybody's just gonna forget about you in a couple weeks. Or it could at
Right
least
now,
been.
Kanye has, I say Kanye has the top 3 albums right now on the Billboard, you know, with Daytona, with no, with Ye, with Kid Cudi Ghost, and with Nas's album. So is he really messing with his numbers, or and on top of that, it's only available on Tidal, so that limits the amount of streams people can have access to.
I don't know.
And you heard about the whole controversy with Tidal, with the whole like freaking ghost streams. You guys heard about that, right?
No,
No.
what's going on with that?
So apparently, Tidal used to be some I want to say like Norwegian music service before Jay-Z bought it, some music streaming service. And somebody did some digging. This was like a month and a half ago, and they found out that there were these ghost streams. Like they saw that like people were playing like a Jay-Z song at like 3 o'clock in the morning 30 times in a row. Like they were people were like sitting there analyzing the data. Yeah. Yeah, you did hear about that or no?
No, I did hear a little bit about that. I didn't pay much attention to it. I didn't know that what it actually meant when they say ghost stream. Oh my goodness.
So the ghost stream is basically like you being songs being streamed between the hours of like 1 a.m. and like 5 a.m. Like nobody's really listening to like 30 songs of Lemonade or whatever Jay-Z song at that time. Like that now that was the crazy part, was that they were able to track the time that was it was being streamed. So Tidal kind of has a little bit of their business practices are a little tarnished, and people were kind of looking into it. Like some reporter and some legal groups were kind of looking into it to see if this was an actual thing, and it come to find out that it was really true. So you know, the fact that he's on Tidal and like, yeah, you do own it, but like, you know, you have a limited amount of music that can be streamed that gives you know, this credibility. On top of that, his last album 444 was certified platinum after a day. Or because, you know, I mean, but you also sold like, you know, 1 million albums on Sprint through Sprint or something like that. Or one of those, you know, merge.
Yeah, he addressed that with
So,
his Rap Radar video, you know.
well, yeah, what do you say?
He's, you know, all is fair.
The
Yeah.
numbers. I guess. But if you're streaming music from 3 to 5 a.m. and you're playing one song 30 times, that's a little suspect.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Who
Yeah.
wrote the article or no? You don't know.
I gotta go and find it, but it was definitely on Twitter about a month, maybe 2 months ago. Maybe it was definitely this year that this came out about Tidal.
Wow. Yeah.
Just look up Tidal, just Google Tidal Ghost Streams. You know, people out there that's listening, Google Tidal Ghost Streams. If you don't know about this, they were basically, you know, being accused of having these, you know, fake accounts and fake streams to up their numbers. Because I believe 10 streams equals one song or one play on the internet now, as opposed to like, you know, when people bought an album That was their understanding of how the units were being moved. But now, since everything is moving to digital, they either equate like either 5 or 10 streams equals one song or one play.
Wow,
Yeah.
integrity.
Yeah.
I knew I heard. So, okay, that's not what I read. I didn't know anything about that. I now my memory's coming back. I was reading about how Tidal was losing money, and they
Oh, really?
only there was an article on a gossip blog, so you don't really know how true it is. But on a gossip blog, they
True.
were saying that it was they didn't have enough capital to pay the artists that they did have, and they were running on about 6 months to a year worth of capital to pay out, whatever I work. It was, you know what I mean? It was room. So that was interesting.
Yeah. So, do you guys think that Jay-Z, Beyonce, Kim, and Kanye, they're really in love and they're married because they love each other?
Are you segueing?
Yeah. Hey, peep that.
I'm not sure because I'm let me tell you something. At that caliber, at that level, when we're talking about the 15 plus million dollar plus the million dollar level, you anything is freaking possible. Contracts on top of contracts. I mean, these people don't get paid this kind of money for, you know what I mean, just their dashing good looks and they could sing and rap. No, this is like property type, people protecting their interests, that kind of thing. And to keep that money flowing, absolutely. I probably, you know what I mean? They probably do have an arrangement.
So it's a
I
business. You think it's a
yeah,
business?
I believe it's a business merger. I think most marriages are business mergers, but like especially with celebrities, it's about status. It's about maintaining that status and merging that as well.
Because I feel like I was kind of sad when I found out that Brad and Angelina broke up. I don't know why. I feel like they were like a good couple and they were doing great stuff in regards to humanitarian efforts. And obviously, I watched Mr. and Mrs. Smith recently. I forgot where I watched it. It was in the hotel, matter of fact, when I was in the city. And that movie is very 90s, like I'm not very 90s, very early 2000s, It was just like kind of cheesy, but you kind of saw that they were trying to do their power couple thing. Not to say that, couples that do things together, like for instance, Jay-Z and Beyonce, like when they do stuff together, it does work out well, especially like during Coachella. I thought the fact that they did stuff together was really cool. The fact that they did a couple of singles, Crazy in Love, was a cool song. I don't know how I feel about a whole album, but we got wind of that article, that Instagram post that I shared with you guys today about, marriages and how men don't necessarily see the benefits of marriages in today's society. So I don't know. What did you? I know Trinice, you wanted to. I know you had some thoughts about that. So we'll start with you, and then then Hunter, you can pick it up after her. But what are you guys' thoughts about marriages? Because Trinice, you're married. Hunter, you're not. I'm divorced. but what are your thoughts?
Well, if we start with the Instagram me post that you, let's just the people just reference something because they probably don't know why men don't marry. And it looks like there was a list from Troubleman 31, who happens to be TI.
Yes, Ted.
Number two, because there's nothing in it for them. What exactly does marriage offer men today? Men, there's a good chance they'll lose their friends, their respect, their space, their sex life, their money, and if all goes wrong, their family, says Helen Smith of Men on Strike. I think that's hella wrong. I don't, there's a lot in it. And I think, and me and Mike were talking about this too. Like, I think people's ideals, men and women too, not just the men, people's ideals, and it is an outdated institution. Don't get me wrong. Back in the day, back in, people married for security. Like a father would marry off his daughter and give his son-in-law a piece of land if he, took care of her. She provided him
And
with children. He took care of his daughter. And in turn,
didn't men get dowries too? Didn't get men get
yes.
dowries for taking a wife? You would get paid a certain amount of money or something like that?
Yes, and that was for security. Now, fast forward into the 21st century, we've made it into, because of the movies and because of Disney, we've made it about love. And so a lot of people have entered into marriages, one, for societal pressures, and two, it's just the human wanting and needed to be loved. Like we want to so desperately believe in that there's somebody who's going to love us other than our parents through thick and thin. And we'll find that one day because the movies told us so. And it's a kind of unrealistic idealism that has been placed, especially in little girls' heads. I mean, that's all we've dreamed of is, being Cinderella, being dressed up. And
Having the perfect wedding.
God damn.
having the perfect wedding and our beautiful white dress and everybody gawking at us. That's what honestly we've been raised to believe that,
Desire, yeah.
we were going to
Yeah.
be princesses one day. So on that end, but like if you take a realistic approach to it, I think that marriage can be a source of love and and when I say source of love, from someone outside of yourself, self-love is really important. And then it's nice to have mutual support, so a source of love and a mutual support and somebody who is a witness to your life, you know what I mean? That things in your that you go through day to day or things, really big accomplishments or just like down, when you're down in the dumps, like things won't go unnoticed because I will notice it. I think that's important. And so when she's like this, says this, men know there's a good chance that they'll lose their friends, their respect, their space. Honestly, they're looking, the men that she's talking about, they're looking in the wrong place. You know what I mean? There are women out there who is not going to rake, like, and I'm one of them. Like, I would never rake, regardless. And I talked about this with Mike, regardless, he could cheat on me, whatever. Like, it would be something really bad. I would still, because he's my son's father, I would still never try to. I could put my emotions aside. People are like, oh, you don't know until you've got there. Yes, true. I've never been in another person's shoes, but I would never try to rake another somebody that I once loved. I don't understand how you could say that you once loved somebody and then try to rake them over the coals. So these men that she is speaking of, I just don't. I think that there's not women that do that, and I'm not one of them. I think she's just talking to the wrong men, and I think she's been talking to the wrong women. As far as the just one last point, I know that I'm long-winded. The article that you sent me, on. What is it called?
What, the review for her book?
Why men are going galt. And I kind of disagree with this too. I do think that men are, women are there. We've seen a rise in women going to colleges, women getting a job, and we can, yes, there's been a lot of advancement on, feminism, girl power, equal pay rights. And but I don't think that people tend to favor, the article just seems a little bit one-sided. I don't think that in today's society, there's as much favoring for to women. I can name two or three people, two or three guys that I know who beat out their baby mamas in child support cases. This is per two people, two guys that I know personally. I think we see less and less of that. And also, too, workforces are increasingly becoming more supportive of men paternity leaves too, because it takes, honestly, it takes a village to raise a child. So, you've got Fortune 500 companies like Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, American Express, who are also extending, you know what I mean? A guy usually after after he has a baby or becomes an adoptive parent, they would only get like a week or 2 weeks, and then is get your ass back to work. Now they're being extended the same benefits as women. So I think things are changing. I think this Helen is a little bit one-sided. I do agree with her that yes, men are judged, and we're being extremely critical of men unfairly, especially after the Me Too Hollywood scandals that are happening. Yes, those men are scumbags. I'm never, ever, ever going to excuse any men's sexual advancement or inappropriate behavior towards women in order, sexual favors for them to get roles and parts. That's just downright disgusting. Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, yes, they are poor examples of men.
Allegedly,
Allegedly.
allegedly.
But well, Cosby was convicted, so I can't. It is what it is with him. Harvey's still standing. But what I want to say is that I have a son, and I'm scared for him, honestly. And I'm gonna try, you know what I mean? this is where his father is probably gonna have to help me a little bit. But him showing romantic interest in a woman, he has to be a little bit more careful. And I'm going to do as much coaching as I possibly can, especially when he goes to college and his hormones gonna be raging, and he's like got all this freedom, and all these girls are gonna be, oh, Amir, come to our dorm room, blah 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 blah. I'm gonna be like, no, this is we're gonna have scenario cases, because I refuse. The day that I get a phone call that my son was accused of it being inappropriate with a woman, and he's got to answer, and the cops are, I am going to lose my shit. I'm gonna lose my shit.
Right.
And it's men are being so, because so harshly. Yeah, we are being a little harsh towards men, and especially in that arena. It's getting out of control.
Okay, so
There's an unbalancing. There's a balancing that needs to go on in society, because right now we are so far left. Like, you can't even say anything. You can't even tell ask a woman out on a date without her being like, oh, you said that I have pretty eyes? What? Go to jail. No, you sexually harassed me.
right. Hunter, what do you think?
Well, I missed the one part leading up to that last part, but yeah, I as far as what I forget the doctor's name who wrote the article, but
Dr. Helen
Dr. Helen
Smith.
Smith, I think for the most part, who she interviewed as far as the men went, I think it was with the list that they gave, or whoever wrote that, the list that they gave, I think it was the fear of losing that. So I think some men, like especially now in modern times, when you're, kind of afraid to join one side or the other, or you're kind of afraid to even talk to women for fear of something like that happening, I think you're like, you know what? I'm going to be selfish, and I'm going to withdraw from that. And I think that's sort of all those lists of desires, having multiple sexual partners or whatever, blah blah blah. I think this is all desires and fears that, that they'll lose that. It's not necessarily that they want to. I want to find that one person. I think we all do. And I think it is a romantic idea, but I think I think we all do, because we all want to feel that love, that family that was created when we were children, and from our mother, and feel that again with someone that we fall in love with, and to do that for our children or future children or whatever. But Yeah, I have to agree with you, Chinese. Like, you pretty much were spot on with everything. And that's kind of what I was saying. You're married, so you have that experience. I'm one of those people who, I almost got married, didn't, because I was young. We were young, and I was also a stupid moron back then. And she did
What'd
the right
you do?
thing. Oh, I
What'd
was
you do?
too cool for
Jeez.
school, man. Like, no, I was just an asshole. I was just, I was trying to be an asshole because I wanted to make it seem like I didn't really need you. But deep down, or not even deep down, it was, I loved her. I loved her, and more than I could possibly express. And she deserved better than that. And if I can't express that to someone I love and who has shown that they love me, then I don't deserve that. I don't deserve her. And she did the right thing. So,
Oh,
word.
yeah.
Preach, bro. That's it.
So yeah, but otherwise, I've had plenty of casual relationships. I have had substantial relationships, but never. As I've gotten older and older, I've kind of just been like, what is the point of marriage? It's such an antiquated idea. And I wish government wasn't involved, because it is, it's a business merger. All the tax files you have to, all the tax papers you have to file, and everything you have to sign, you have to sign a license. And it's almost like, if it pleases the crown, can I please get married? That it just, why? Like, I don't think we need that. If you really love someone, you can't, you should be bound by love and not by legality. So, all right, that's my two cents.
Well, as the voice of reason, I would like to say that both of you are wrong. No, I'm not gonna be that one ringer that they just bring into a show just to disagree with everybody. No, you both made valid points. My thing was that I posted this on Instagram, and then I created a poll after I put up two videos for people. I mean, two screenshots for people to kind of read the full article, because sometimes you just can't read it in one post. And then after that, I had people vote, and it was funny because all the women gave it a thumbs down, and all the men gave it a thumbs up. And I was just like, okay. And then I started to have a conversation with someone on Instagram about it, and they were like, well, I was like, well, what's the benefit of this relationship for men, or of a marriage for men? And she was like, love, companionship, bomb sex, a business partner, someone you can trust and have a conversation with, and best friend. I'm like, okay. You can get that in like five different people and still be content with your life and be satisfied with, your life and your life choices. You can, if you need love and compassion, you can get that from your mother. If you need bomb sex, you can get a smash buddy or a girlfriend, a long-term girlfriend. If you need a business partner, then, do business with somebody you trust, then have faith that they will be, honest, moral person. And, best friend, we already have best friends right now. So it's just like, why does a marriage have to bring all that into a person? And she was just like, well, it's just the idea that, men have this fear that I think allows this article to see the light of day. I was like, no, I think the fact that a woman had brought this conversation to the forefront is why this article sees the light of day. Because if it was a man doing this, it would get shot down immediately, because it's like, oh, this is mansplaining, and this is just a way for men to further, subjugate women with their, archaic, the radical beliefs or something. And I'm just, my thing, we kind of ended the conversation saying that, well, maybe marriage is an archaic institution, and the reason why people don't believe in it, because we've seen it be unsuccessful, the same way that a lot of people are turning away from religion, because they're seeing it as being unsuccessful in a lot of avenues. But people are going more towards the spirituality component, where they are finding their meaning of God or whatever they want to believe in other realms, whether it's nature, whether it's music, whether it's whiskey, like whatever, people are finding it and they're being happy with that. But she said maybe we should think about something that's more poly, what's the word she used? polysocietal, something that's more mainstreamed and more up to 2018 and beyond circumstances. Because at the end of the day, like that's the fear of a lot of men, is that they're going to lose their best friends, they're going to lose their me time. The sex, you know, that's good in the beginning seems to get kind of mundane, and you know how men like to, you know, have sex and multiple partners and all that stuff is a huge thing society. Like women really just want a faithful man. Now whether that is because of the desires that are put out in media or whether that's internal is a whole nother discussion. But me, I was married for 7 years. But that was literally a business transaction. In that 7 years of marriage, I also had two different relationships. One was 4 years, one was 6 months. That 6 month relationship felt like it was a 15-year relationship, goddamn. But it's just one of those things where maybe there should be a conversation about the rebranding of marriage, so that, you know, yes, it could be about love, but it also could be about growth. And it doesn't have to come with the idea that people are going to lose things, that they're going to gain things. And you know, now, you know, I've been talking, I've been dating, and I kind of, you know, singled out, you know, an individual, and we've had conversations about, you know, expectations when it comes to marriage and when it comes to, you know, desires and, you know, responsibilities and children. And that person expressed, you know, the idea that, okay, well, women, they also have the fear that a man's going to leave them when they have baby, when they have a baby or multiple babies. But yet we still do this. So why do men let those fears get the best of them? And, you know, that's a very valid point. That's a very valid question. And in the article, she talks about how just men just historically have not been able to be the focal point of the marriage, is always taking the side of the woman when it comes to if things go wrong, when it comes to court and alimony and child support.
Right.
The court, for the most part, is the side with the woman. And I know, Trinice, you didn't mention, you do know of two examples where the men actually won their side of the court case, but those are the exceptions. That's not necessarily the
No.
rule. So the whole fear of the legal system being involved and, you know, a woman becoming bitter because things didn't work out because she was conditioned by Disney to think that Prince Charming was going to work and it was the whole Prince Charming was going to come and save her. You know, I feel like that is part of it. You know, and you know, I do blame media as to why, you know, a lot of people are looking for love in the wrong places, for marriage being the end goal.
Yeah,
And
I agree with you, especially both of you, especially with the movies, you know, romanticizing the idea of the, you know, the perfect one, perfect this, perfect that. I think it once we're able as individuals to face reality, instead of, you know, well, this happened, these people are doing this on, and it's and they're posting it up on social media. Or social media itself is telling us what we need to do, the 10 steps to do this or the 10 steps to do that, or you know, and then you watch this movie about, you know, this fairy tale wedding. I think if we just grasp reality and just face our own reality, and not have our expectations so high that nobody could possibly meet them, I think we'd be a lot happier and be more capable of finding someone without fear.
Yeah, too, and also too, stop looking to for the other person to love you. Like you should also, you know what I mean, be in a certain place, I feel like you have to be whole and love yourself
Yeah,
first before
absolutely.
you could be with anybody. I mean, that goes for boyfriend and girlfriend. Girlfriend and girlfriend, boyfriend and boyfriend, you know. Yeah, you have to be whole with your person and not look to outside external love, you know, to fulfill you, you know. I think that's a huge reason for,
Yeah, I think once you know yourself, you're more capable of sharing yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
You know?
And the whole idea that, men just need that their space, their space to, be men. There was an interview that I read of the Dr. Helen Smith, from that article. They interviewed her. I didn't share it with you guys because I think you had to like submit your email address and like subscribe. So I just like did it real quick. But I copied it into Google Docs and I'll let you see it. But then she was talking about the whole idea of masculinity versus feminism. And she was saying that right now there's a weird idea of masculinity as it's this evil force that they've been painting in media. And this article came out, this her book came out in 2013. So she was making the rounds in that time. And now we're actually seeing it play out in 2018. But like you said, with the Me Too movement and the Time's Up movement, where there's this conversation about, with boys about, you being labeled a pervert and, a sexual deviant and a rapist, and having these words and these ideas play over into your mind in middle school or high school, and then you see it play out in college, you see it manifest in college, because in some way, some weird way, you start to believe that you're a pervert because you've been told this all throughout the time, throughout, your life. And so she said that, in order for us to redefine masculinity is to not place any pressure on it one way or another and to let it develop. And then she said something very interesting. She said, well, they were like, well, do you think that, the gender roles are shifting? She was like, that's not for me to say, but what I can tell you is that, it's hard for a woman to teach a man how to limit that aggression because women aren't in that space. They're not thinking from that aggressive standpoint that men think from. She's like, a father can do that for his son. A father could tell him, hey, listen, you are taking this aggression too far. You need to know where to cap off this aggression. It's much harder for a woman to do that. And the whole reason why she said that education is changing, especially for men, she said 6% of women are in college or something, or graduate from college or something, enroll in college, one of those numbers. But she said that, education is not being sold and it's not being made attractive to men anymore because men are more about competitiveness and aggression and being active, whereas college kind of more reinforces the idea of cooperation and conversation, and that's not natural for most men. So the fact that those are avenues for women to go, you kind of have these elitist women colleges and women centers and these things that encourage femininity and feminism. Whereas for men, those spaces aren't existing anymore. She said every college that she surveyed had a women's center, but of all the colleges she surveyed, only two of them had a women's center. And we know there's over hundreds of colleges in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
So she made a very good point about the aggressiveness because women are now saying, where are the men at? Where are the real men? But she feels that society has kind of been phasing out the idea of real men because of this fear and this evilness called masculinity. And she what she's saying is that the playing field is not fair in that regards.
That one
And
point,
how?
I do agree with her, but the other stuff,
Yeah.
she sound like a whack job. I'm just sorry.
Why?
And another, I was going to say something really inappropriate. I was listening
What?
to Joe Rogan podcast, and he had this comedian on there. I think it was Hannibal Buress that made him say
My guy, I just saw Tag this weekend. Hannibal was great in it.
it. And I think he was just like, man, women, women just don't know what it's like to have a dick. And I was cracking up because they were, oh yeah, they were talking about Louis CK, who just like whooped it out with a couple women. And they were like, you know what I mean? Like, where did he get that idea that that was okay? And he was like, well, it probably worked with one girl. And all it took was that one, you know what I mean? Out of hundreds of girls who slap you in the face for doing that, there is at least one girl.
Oh yeah, I dated a girl who said she had penis envy. And yeah, oh
Really?
yeah. She would always, not to get too graphic, but I don't think you guys care,
Get graphic,
but no
bro.
no but
Do
like she would be driving and just like grabbing my crotch and just and
it.
she's like I kind of wish I had one of these, and I'm like, And I swear to God, like it was just weird. Like, and
Because
I'm
it's
like,
really
can you
your husband.
imagine if the shoe was on the other foot of what that would be like? I mean, I didn't mind. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. But
Like you do have one's in your hand right now. There you go. What are you going to do with it now? What are you going to do with it? Is the
It's
real question.
yours. It's yours whenever you want.
Do you want it in you by any chance?
But yeah, she had that thing where she was like, I wish I had one just to kind of play with, I guess.
I mean, just because you have a dick doesn't mean that everybody wants to see it,
No,
though.
you're right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's where I was kind of confused with this whole Harvey Weinstein, Louis C.K., and whoever else was whipping their dicks out just to kind of like show women. I was just like, yeah, from what I've understand from women, like penises aren't
Yeah, I know.
attractive.
Well, from woman to woman, it's a different story every single time. So you have to know your audience, basically.
You have to know your audience. Comedy
Yeah.
101, Harvey Weinstein.
Louis
Know your audience.
C.K., for that
Know
matter, he should know.
Of
Yeah.
course. Of course. Of course. Know when to whip your dick out or when to say the
No.
N-word, Quentin
Yeah.
Tarantino. Or what's his name? What's the guy from Seinfeld?
Oh, Michael
Oh.
Richards or something like that. Might yeah, something like that.
Kramer.
Kramer, yeah.
It's so Trinice, what was your point in regards to the Hannibal Buress? Is that the fact that masculinity is dying and we can't show our penises anymore?
No, it was just that he was just saying for every one time, you know what I mean, that a guy has, you know what I mean, come on, was aggressive, you know, it has worked on at least
Right,
one
right.
girl, and all you really need is that one girl that would have said yes, and then you know what I mean, you
Yeah.
think you got it in the bag.
So you think it works every time, apparently.
Yeah, well, not every time, but you know what I mean?
Trial and error.
Trial and error.
Well, apparently, Luke.
But it's definitely
Well,
not
go
the
ahead.
way to go at work. So I would encourage all men in professional capacities, please do not do that.
Yeah, don't do it at work. Don't get in someone's way that's trying to leave. That's a second gift.
Yeah, very good point. I've
Just
definitely
let them
noticed.
go. Just let them go.
Yeah, someone
Yeah, just
was
let them
telling me.
go.
I think I was. I don't know. Was it Jared or somebody? I was talking to somebody recently. And they one of the guys were just like, by the second no, all right, I'm done. I'm like, no, wait, the second no. First.
Mean, there was the whole idea that no means yes. But now people are trying to, now people are realizing that maybe no does mean no.
Yeah.
Just because she says no doesn't mean that she wants to give you a challenge.
Right.
Like, and that's the thing. It's just like going back to what you were saying, Trinice, about your son, giving him that understanding and that the scenario building of this is what's appropriate and this is what is not appropriate and this is consent and this is lack of consent or not consent or dismissal, whatever you want to call it. Men shouldn't be afraid of rejection because we get rejected all the
Yeah.
time. So, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Like, culturally speaking, men are always getting rejected by women. So, like, when guys get mad from rejection and call women out of their name and everything, I'm just like, dude, like, really? Is this your first time a girl telling you no? Like, what kind of life have you lived? That's some freaking male privilege bullshit.
I had a coworker who has a 14-year-old. I think he's now 15, and he was going away, and you know what I mean? College, Princeton, hanging out, friends, going to the movies, talking to girls. He's of that age, right? And she used to tell him, she used to run down scenarios. Like she's just like, you're at a party, one of your friends' parents let you guys have a party, they stepped out or whatever, and five of your friends have a girl in the room, and you happen to be one of those five in the room with that one girl, and she's like, what are you gonna do? And it opens up. I love the fact that she's so open with him and have that dialogue with him about like how badly that situation can go one of two ways. All five of those guys would be really happy and, singing their praises next day in school, or it could be really, really wrong and all five of them get arrested. So I love that she did that, and I do look forward to those conversations with the mayor. Now he's 9, he's not even thinking about that stuff, but I think it's important, man. I really do think that stuff is important, especially now. You know what I mean? Like, I almost want Amir to have a consent app because these girls out here are crazy. Like,
Oh, that's a
all
great idea.
this, honestly, all a girl has to do is say, "I was scared and I was too afraid to say no." Your ass is getting locked up. I don't think you
Isn't that what happened to
got
that
to lock.
teenager? That's what happened to that teenager in was it Mississippi, Alabama? Like he was locked up because a girl said that he raped
Yeah.
her. And come to find out, he was exonerated from his charges.
Well, but it's still like if she's intimidated by you and she says, "I was too afraid of him to say no,"
To say no.
you are going to jail. You're going to jail. And like, I don't think a lot of men know that. I don't. I think they would be a lot smarter if they did.
You know, that makes me think of a conversation my mom had with me when I was in high school, and she kind of framed it from like a cult, like an ethnic standpoint. She was like, don't be messing around with these white girls like that because they straight lie on you and say that you raped her. I was like, what? That's crazy. And at the time, like, the school I went to was, it was predominantly white, but it was still like, still multicultural. But I remember my freshman year in college, this one girl said that I raped one of her friends who I didn't. And even her friend was like, why would she say that? And it kind of became like this thing, like for like the first semester of my freshman year. And I was just like, yo, that's real crazy. Like, I didn't know if it was the fact that the girl liked me and the fact that I liked her friend. But that was something that was in my mind about like, yo, white women might lie on you. Now it's not really about, white, black, whatever, because if you put yourself in that position and somebody can easily say that, they were intimidated by you or whatever the case may be. But that was how it was framed in my mind. And then it also comes now we also talk about social cues, emotional awareness and social awareness and understanding people and knowing what,
Body
a
language.
comfortable person looks like. Huh?
Body language.
Body language, exactly. Understanding like if her arms are crossed, maybe she's not feeling this environment, but if she, if she's open and having, flirty expressions and all these things touching you, then that may mean that that's, positivity. One of the best things that I use in regards to just like, body expression and understanding whether or not a girl likes you is when you go in for a hug. If she pats you on the back, bro, you in the friend zone.
Forget
If she gives you the back pat or the back rub, you're friend zone. But if she gives you a nice big warm hug, you might have a chance.
crotch in.
Crotch,
Crotch
what?
in.
If she gives you a
Well, I mean, like,
crotch in?
if ass is out, like, if it then it's then you're a friend.
Oh, yes. If she like puts that space between your, okay, good point. That's very, oh, damn, I didn't even think about that too. That makes sense
It's it
too.
that's but that's a natural human interaction type thing, as far as intimacy goes. And that's why intimacy is supposed to be. It's supposed to be like a symbiotic language that, you're both speaking to each other. You're not, it's you're supposed to feel the cues, and if it's not there, stop reaching.
That's a very good point. And maybe the fact that everything's becoming digital now, everybody's interacting through apps and through the phone, a lot of that may be lost, unfortunately.
That's true.
So, that's where, Trinice, where you're saying like you have those conversations with your son, that's where it'll be super important so that he understands those nuances. Because if not, like, things could get lost in translation, unfortunately. things already do get lost in translation, which is just tone and lack of tone and lack of the facial expressions when you have when somebody's in front of you.
Right.
So that's that. So ladies and gentlemen, don't get married. That shit ain't for you. That shit ain't for everybody.
It really isn't. It isn't.
It's not. It's for the strong. It's for the people that understand that it's hard work.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah,
And are willing to put in the hard work.
exactly. It isn't for everybody, just like college isn't it for everybody. It just, you don't force the issue. That's probably why there's a
Yeah.
lot of, yeah, it is people falling for that romantic idea, and it didn't work out the way they thought it would, and that's why there's a high divorce rate. You just kind of, it's about knowing yourself.
But there are real fears that men have. Let's acknowledge that.
Oh,
Let's not try to inundate, let's not try to act like it doesn't exist. And have those conversations about those fears, because that way, men can be confident in their choice of
well,
partner and the ability to take that
I
risk.
think men should be allowed and should be encouraged to voice those fears in order to create the conversation, instead of having to hide those fears and tell some doctor so she could put in a survey. They have to the conversation has to be allowed, without being scoffed
Right.
at, and so perhaps a bit of honesty in the world would go a long way.
And compassion. And that's kind of like, and I'll kind of end on this final note, but that's kind of what she was kind of, saying, was that, men are taught to be, to not talk about their feelings and to hold it in. And because of that, they're not able to kind of really showcase their fears and have a place of discussion to feel comfortable about, some of their things that they're feeling. They don't have those spaces anymore. Like, but she used the example of the all men's club. I think they're now illegal in the state of New York, but she was saying, but at the same time though, there's women's only gyms, and there's women, social clubs. And she said, because, men don't have those spaces where they can just be men, they're not allowed to express some of the concerns and fears that they may have when it comes to, marriage or relationships or finances or, whatever the case may be. So, that's she said, she was saying that, because of that, that leads to where we're at today. The eliminating of those spaces in like the 50s and 60s. So, maybe we can find a better avenue for this for the 21st century. So fingers crossed.
Hopefully. Keep
But
the
thank you, guests. What'd you say?
conversation rolling.
Yes, absolutely. So we have passed the hour mark. And so with that being said, I want to thank my co-host, Trinisi in the streets, and my guest co-host, Matador, aka Rex Pistachio, aka Matthew Hunter, aka the Hunter of Fascination Wild. I love having these discussions with you guys on the Woke Fast podcast. Any final words for the listeners, Trinisi?
Ladies, keep the legs closed.
No, don't do that. Just open them up after 3 months of trust,
Build the trust. Build the trust.
Build the trust. Then let them open up the doors of perception. Matador, any last words for you?
No, but I want to listen to that Nas album, definitely.
Yes, please. It's actually, it's really
That's my time
good. I
period
thought it
right
was
there.
good.
You kids, you guys are, all over the place, but I'm Nas and Wu-Tang and all the way, so.
Dude, freak out of here. That was the first freaking tape I bought when I was a kid. It was Nas, it was written. And it was on my way to South Carolina. My mom let me, she gave me a couple of dollars to buy it. And yeah, I love Nas ever since. And I was a Nas guy. I was a Nas guy over Jay-Z guy. So when they were going through their beef, I was like, nope, Nas all the way.
Yeah, Nas, Hunter, it Nas is really.
Yeah,
So
definitely listen to it. It's on Spotify.
all right, so it's good. So I'm in for a treat.
It's very good, especially the first song. The first song is really interesting.
All right.
Especially when you talk about Fox News being founded by a black man. What?
Yeah, interesting. Okay. All
Yeah. But yeah, so this is the Woke Fast Podcast. This is your boy G to the AAABE with my co-host. Co-host.
Trinizi.
Co-host. Oh, co-host, are you there?
She signed off.
She signed off. And my guest co-host.
Matador. Rex Pistachio, Hunter, whatever.
You folks have a great weekend. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, and happy Father's Day to the single mothers, and happy Father's Day to the gender open couples, whatever the case may be. You guys have a great night and have a great week, and we'll catch you guys on the next time, on the next one. Peace.
See you guys.
Oh, thank you.